1894, when the Congress of the United States, by act of law, established the first Monday of September as Labor Day. And in fact, it has also been a holiday by state law in all of the states and territories of the United States, excepting two, since the year 1928. Those years and these movements have witnessed enormous advances in the standard of living of the working classes of America. Some of you may remember, let me briefly recall to your minds the fact that in 1947, 21 years ago, the average income per family in the United States, according to official census figures of our government, was $3,031 a year. Or, this amounted to about $58.25 a week, the median income per family in the United States. Some of you here this morning can certainly remember that fact. In the next 16 years, the median income, increased enormously. By 1963, 16 years later, this income had increased 100%. In 1963, the median income was $6,249 per family annually in the United States, or $120 a week. And now, 6 years after that, this has even increased enormously. And in spite of what you and I think, this has not been all inflationary. During those 16 years, the increase in income per family was 100%, and the inflationary cost was 50%, which meant that during those 16 years, the average family in America increased in purchasing power in income 50%. In 1947, $58 a week was the equivalent to $80 a week in 1963, but the median income had increased to $120 a week in 1963. All of this confronts Christians in America with a very critical and complex problem. And it is the problem of Christian stewardship. This coming Tuesday morning, when our children begin again to go to school, and one of them comes home to get his birth certificate and says, "Teacher wants my excuse for being born." You will want to be prepared to give him some things that the birth certificate do not state. We must be prepared to tell them that one of the reasons we are here is that we are stewards under God. We must be prepared to remind them that we are responsible for so very much. We must be prepared to tell them that God holds us, particularly in America, accountable for remarkable advantages that we have. Wealth and education, and skills, and technology, and tools, and Bible information, and creature comforts, and almost innumerable advantages that we enjoy. We must be prepared to face the very critical and complex issue that in America we have been given responsibility for enormous things, and that we are accountable to God for great, great blessings under Him. Sometimes I personally am deeply troubled over being responsible for the use of so very, very much. The question that deeply troubles me personally many times is the issue of whether or not I am using so much that God has given in the ways that are responsible and pleasing and wise. Now, one area of stewardship is the area or the stewardship of finances and money. And one part of the area of stewardship of money is the matter of giving to the Lord's work. This is not all, as I have remarked on our former studies. Giving money to the Lord's work is only one part of the matter of stewardship of finances. The stewardship of finances is far broader and far more encompasses far more than simply what we give to the Lord's work. The stewardship of money involves our use of all that we have, responsibly, wisely, carefully, etc. But one important part of the stewardship of finances is giving to the Lord's work. Therefore, this morning, I ask that we once again open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. This is the major passage in the New Testament which deals with the matter of giving to the Lord's work. And in these two chapters have been given to us seven principles concerning giving to the Lord's work. We need desperately to learn and to know the seven principles which God has given to us in these two chapters. If a Christian is guided in his giving to the Lord's work by the seven principles which are stated for us in these two chapters, he will please God in this part of his stewardship. And therefore, I suggest today that we want to give careful attention to the seven principles stated here that are to govern our giving of money to God's work. Look for a moment at the seventh verse of the ninth chapter. Every man, that is principle number one, reiterated in several places in the Bible, that every Christian should give to support toward support of the Lord's work. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, that is principle number two. Giving to the Lord's work is a personal matter between each believer and God. It is not a public matter. It is an individual matter. Each believer in his heart before the Lord. So let him give. Not grudgingly, and that is principle number three, which is this. Giving money to the Lord's work must be with the right attitudes and from the right motives. That is, in the two chapters, the following attitudes were set forth. We should give joyfully. We should give out of a sense of fellowship and privilege. We should give with personal interest and concern. We should give because of love for Christ. And we should give as worship for God. But we must remember that we are to give not grudgingly. That is, our attitude and motives are of deep concern. We must give to the Lord's work with the right attitude and from the right motives, not grudgingly. Are of necessity, and the last phrase, are of necessity, or if you put the negative with it that begins that last sentence, not of necessity, that phrase brings to us or refers to the next and the fourth principle that is to govern giving of money to the Lord's work. Principle number four is this. Giving money to the Lord's work is to be by personal desire and by free choice. Or let me put it this way. Giving to the Lord's work is to be caused by desire from the Holy Spirit within and not caused by gimmicks or pressure from humans without. This principle is so very important that I feel that it would bear repeating. Giving money to the Lord's work must be by personal desire and free choice. It must not be caused by gimmicks or pressure of humans from without, but by desire by the Holy Spirit from within. Not of necessity. Not of necessity. The phrase "not of necessity" signifies giving that is not motivated by pressure or external coercion, but it signifies giving which is free and personal and willing and desired. Giving because of external pressure is not desirable. It contradicts the principle of grace. Now we want to see how this is set forth in the 8th and the 9th chapters before us. And for that purpose, I suggest that we turn back to see the discussion of this principle in chapter 8. In the 8th chapter, at verse 3, remember that Paul is writing to the Christian believers at Corinth concerning the giving of Christian believers up in Macedonia, the northern part of Greece. And in the 3rd verse, he writes the following words, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." That last phrase, "they were willing of themselves," is translated in modern versions like this: "They gave of their own accord," or "they gave of their own free will." This refers to giving to the Lord's work, which is by desire, by personal choice, by free will, rather than giving to the Lord's work that is brought about by human external coercion and pressure and gimmicks. In the 12th verse of the chapter, we also have Paul giving the principle in these words, 2 Corinthians 8:12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And there we see again a reference to the willing mind that is important. Giving to the Lord's work that comes out of a willingness and a desire rather than out of any pressure or coercion at all. Looking on down in these chapters to the 9th chapter and the 1st verse, he writes the following words, "For as touching the ministering to the saints," or in modern terms we would say, about this matter of giving to fellow Christians, "it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind." Or as Phillips translates this accurately, he says, "For I know how willing you are." I know how willing you are. Referring to the fact that giving to the Lord's work, according to this principle, must be by personal desire and free choice, rather than by methods of coercion or pressure or gimmicks. And last of all, as we look in this passage, continue to notice in verse 5 of the 9th chapter, where Paul writes, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that this might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." Now, modern translations translate the last part of that 5th verse accurately as follows. Paul said, "I sent the brethren on to arrange the gift that you have promised so that your gift may not be as an exaction, but as a willing gift." Or Phillips translates the last phrase of that verse absolutely correctly when he translates it as follows, "I would like it to be a spontaneous gift and not money squeezed out of you by what I have said." Paul was so aware of the fact that giving money to the Lord's work only pleases God when it is a joyful gift and not money squeezed out of someone by something pressure that's brought to bear upon them. So that the principle that is set forth here is the principle that giving money to the Lord's work is to be giving that is of personal desire and personal choice, rather than giving that is brought about by all kinds of gimmicks and pressure and conscription. You know what they are like. It can be that we can resort to trying to humor you and entertain you, and so cajole you into giving because you've been entertained. Or you can be motivated to give by all kinds of promises of rewards and returns. Or you can be motivated to giving by harangues and by all kinds of public appeals. Or you can be forced to give by being embarrassed, or by a listing of the donations, or by an asking people who will give so much to lift the hand. All kinds of methods of pressure and appeal and embarrassment and coercion. This kind of giving is absolutely fruitless to God and worthless to Him. He abhors it. Paul said, I don't want your giving to be giving that's been squeezed out of you by things that I say. I want your giving to be a spontaneous gift that is of a willing mind, something you want to do, a desire that you have within you to give because of the Holy Spirit motivating you to give. May I say to you that here at Metropolitan Church, I'm convinced that we shall never resort to the kinds of methods I mentioned a moment ago. First of all, because it's unbiblical. Secondly, because God doesn't honor it. And lastly, because in the long run it may get certain short-term kinds of results, but it never makes mature Christians, and it does not please God. We believe rather that the giving to the Lord's work that is to be done by those believers who fellowship here is to be giving that is to come out of your own desire to share in the ministry God the Holy Spirit arousing within you as you're open to Him, the inclination and the choice and the desire to give simply in response to needs. And only this pleases God. And only this is New Testament Christian giving to the Lord's work. A little boy gave a very shocking answer to a question that his Sunday school teacher had asked him. She expected him to say that the shepherd leads his sheep. In reply to her question, what does the shepherd do to his sheep? The little boy had attended a certain type of religious meeting recently, and his reply was instead, the shepherd shears the sheep. And unfortunately, this is the kind of technique that is often used to get people to give. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Just ridiculous. If you don't give to the Lord because there's within you a desire to share in ministry out of personal concern and love for Christ and worship for God, and a giving of yourself and a recognition of the privilege of sharing in ministry and a personal concern, and therefore you give because of personal desire and a free choice, if you don't give to the Lord's work out of this, your giving to the Lord's work is not pleasing, and we refuse to resort to methods of embarrassing and pressuring and haranguing so that you are led to give because you're afraid of being embarrassed or pressured or coerced. We refuse to use it. It displeases God. It doesn't honor Him. It's not Christian giving. So we must remember this principle that we have mentioned here. Not of necessity. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, your attitude is of importance, nor of necessity, not because you're put under pressure or forced or coerced, but rather because you freely choose and want and to share in the work. Principle number 4. Now the 5th and the 6th and the 7th principles of giving to the Lord's work are set forth in the 8th and the 9th chapters. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, that key verse, summarizes four of the principles. But the last three principles are given in discussion in the 8th and 9th chapters. And therefore, I ask that you look back for a moment to chapter 8, and we shall consider at verse 3 some of the discussion of Paul to see the next principles of giving money to the Lord's work that are to guide us. In the third verse, we have these words concerning the believers again in northern Greece and Macedonia. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Remember these words that we've just referred to. They were willing of their own accord, of their own free choice. They were willing of themselves. For, and the phrase that I want you to notice is in the opening part of the verse, for to their power and beyond their power. Or as a modern translation would give that, for they gave according to their means and even beyond their means. Now the fifth principle for giving that is referred to here and that we will find in other verses as well is this. Giving money to the Lord's work is to be proportionate giving. That also is a very important principle to which I will refer again and again, but let me repeat that this principle number 5 is that giving money to the Lord's work is to be proportionate giving. I suggest that you not only see in the third verse the words according to their means or according to their power, but look in verse 12 of the same chapter. For in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter, we read that if there is first a willingness, that's principle number 4 that we've already referred to, a personal desire, then that is accepted according to that a man hath. Notice the phrase, according to that which a man has. Or notice in verse 14 the words, that by an equality, that at this time your abundance may make up for their lack. The phrase, your abundance making up for their lack, is a key. Or, in verse 15, the phrase, he who has gathered much, in contrast to he who has gathered little. In these verses, the phrases, according to what a man has, or in verse 12, or in verse 14, the phrase, your abundance, in contrast to their lack, or in verse 15, he who has gathered much, in contrast to he has gathered little, all of these are a reference to what is called proportionate giving. I'm going to discuss what this means in more detail in a moment, but let me say that all of these refer to the fact that as God gives greater blessings, the Scripture teaches that the proportion of his resources that a Christian gives will also increase. According as God has prospered, or according to that you have gathered, and or according to that which you have. If you will turn very quickly for a moment back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you will find in the second verse of 1 Corinthians 16, where Paul had written to these same people in his first letter concerning giving to the Lord's work, that in the second verse he had said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by himself in store as God hath prospered him. Now there is some question concerning the best translation of that last phrase, as God hath prospered him. But all of the suggested translations bear out the principle that Paul set forth here, which was that each Lord's day they were to set aside a proportion that was relative to their blessings. This is called proportionate giving. A modern translation has the phrase, set aside a sum that is in proportion to your gain. And that is exactly the principle that Paul sets forth in this 16th chapter of his first letter, that Christian giving is to be proportionate giving. That as God gives you greater and greater material blessings, that the proportion of that which you give to the Lord's work also is to be greater. Let me show you how this is carried out historically in the early church. Turn for a moment, please, to Acts chapter 11. And in the 11th chapter of Acts and verse 29, the record of the giving of the early church at Antioch, when there was a need for ministry, a need in this case for ministering to those who were in Jerusalem. And at that time in verse 29, the record is that the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren who dwelt at Jerusalem. The phrase, every man according to his ability, indicates proportionate giving. That the part that you give to the Lord's work will grow, the proportion will grow, as God's gifts to you increase. So the question is asked, how much should one give to the Lord? May I ask you that question this morning? How much should one give to the Lord? A tenth? A fifteenth? A fourth? Three principles answer it. Principle number two is, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It's between you and God. I cannot possibly tell you this morning what percentage or proportion you ought to give, and neither can anyone else. It is impossible and unbiblical and unscriptural for me or anybody to say that everybody ought to give a tenth or a fifteenth or 20% or 30%. This is absolutely wrong. The second principle is, this is between you and God. If you make the decision before God, it's a personal leading of God. That's the first principle. How much shall you give to the Lord's work? Principle number two, that's between you and God. And I can't tell you that percent. The next principle that we're going to study in a moment also will have something to say about it, but this principle, principle number five, says that as you determine this before the Lord, that as God gives you greater blessings, He will also indicate to you that you are to give a greater proportion to the Lord's work. Can you imagine a little Christian believer over in Vietnam? We've heard of some of them recently. Barely has adequate means, or perhaps not even adequate means, hardly to live. Can we say to that poor, or that poor Indian believer in Mexico in a little Indian tribe who just struggles to feed his family? You think the Bible teaches that we can say that we here in America are to give 10% and the poor little Indian believer in a tribe in Mexico is to give 10% and that persecuted poor man in Vietnam is to give 10% and John D. Rockefeller is to give 10% and David Cotton is to give 10%? Do you think that's what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that faithful stewardship is that as a Christian, first of all, I'm to meet the needs of those that depend upon me, to provide for them, and that every Christian should give something to the Lord's work. My friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that as God gives you greater and greater and greater material blessings, He also will say to you that the proportion of that which He has given to you should be increased that you're to give to the Lord's work, and only God and you know what that proportion should be. This is mature giving. This is Spirit-directed giving. This is Christian giving to the Lord's work. Can God talk to you apart from public harangues? Can God speak to you simply by presenting a need and saying, as we present to you opportunities and ministries and needs and and other ministries and missions and all kinds of opportunities, can God speak to you without some other person trying to tell you what you ought to do? In this church, it is our policy and our practice and our belief that we are to present to God's people opportunities and ministries and needs, and that as you, before God, seek God's direction in all of your life, God will say to you, "Yes, I'll give this proportion. I ought to give this proportion of my gifts to the Lord, and I will give a part of it to this, and a part of it to that, and another part to this." So that giving to the Lord's work is directed individually by the Holy Spirit, and the proportion of it increases as God gives you greater things. But the proportion of it will be God's direction to you. This is what is meant in all of this. According as he hath prospered you, every man according to his ability, every man by according to his means, in proportion to God's blessings. All of these phrases. Proportionate giving. Now let's look at the sixth principle. As you look back in the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians, we will find that the sixth principle also relates to how much you should give to the Lord's work. For in the second and third verses, we find a phrase that is highly important and significant. As Paul wrote about these Christians in Macedonia, he said in the third verse, "For I bear record or testimony that to their power and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves to give." Or, as the modern translation will have it, "They gave according to their means and beyond their means." Now, this phrase occurs, and I'm going to show it to you in a moment, in several places, but it indicates the principle that whatever the proportion we give to the Lord, as God speaks to us, it is obviously to be liberal and even sacrificial. For Paul commended the believers in Macedonia because the proportion they gave was according to their means and even beyond it. It was liberal and sacrificial. And Paul holds this up as an example to be commended. So that when the Lord speaks to you about the part of your possessions that you are to give, and he indicates to you what proportion you ought to give, he unquestionably will, if you are open to him, indicate something that is liberal and even sacrificial in the giving of your gifts. Look at this in the 12th verse of the same chapter. This is giving that's not on the basis of convenience, but on the basis of sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8:12. "For if a man, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath." Or a modern translation says, "If he is willing to give as much as we can." That means that we give liberally, not just what is convenient, not what we can spare, not what we think we can do without missing it, but as this verse says in the phrase, willing to give just as much as we can. The proportion that is generous and even sacrificial. Now look also, if you will please, in the 9th chapter. And at verses 6 and following, Paul has more to say about this sixth principle. He says in the 6th verse of the 9th chapter, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Let me pause in the reading of this to comment. Paul is not speaking of those who have great ability and therefore they can give a large amount. Paul is speaking of the person, whatever he has, who out of what he has, whether it is little or much, gives generously, even sacrificially. That person is one who is sowing bountifully. It may be a small gift But in ratio to what he has, it is a bountiful sowing. In contrast to the person, whether he has much or little, who gives not liberally nor sacrificially, he therefore sows sparingly. So whether you have much or little, if your gifts are liberal and even sacrificial, that is sowing bountifully. And Paul says, he who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Or he who sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. He does not speak here of material rewards. I want you to read the following verses to be sure you understand that. For the next verse says, God is able to make every grace abound toward you, that having sufficiency in everything, you may abound to good works, to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. This is speaking of a person who sows liberally in his giving, who will reap liberal spiritual blessings. And God also will meet his needs. This does not say that God, that you are going to reap great material rewards if you give great things. But it is saying that if in, out of what you have, you are liberal and even sacrificial, whether it is little or much, you will experience tremendous spiritual blessing out of it. And God is able to meet every need of your life. Giving money to the Lord's work is to be liberal and sacrificial. Again, I cannot tell you what you should give, but I can tell you that as you seek before the Lord what proportion to give, God will say, make it sacrificial for the Lord's sake. Maybe a 20th, maybe a 10th, it may be a 3rd. But God speaks liberality and even sacrifice. Do you know what the average American gives? Not the average American. Let me retract. The average American church member. The American Institute of Motivation Research last year conducted research. I would not for a moment use their methods. They violate everything that the Bible teaches. Tonight I'm going to show you on a projector some of the humorous and ridiculous things that are used to try to coerce people to give. But their research last year indicated a very interesting fact, that the average American adult church member gives less than $1 a week to the Lord's work. That last year, the average American adult church member gave less than $52 to the Lord's work. When the average or median income per family in America last year was nearly $9,000. Do you think that's liberal, sacrificial, joyful giving? I don't suggest this as any kind of a measure for our people, but last year, the members of Metropolitan Church, on a per average basis, gave about $242 per member for the year to the Lord's work. That means that if in your family there were two members, on an average, the family gave about $500. I do not suggest that in any way because I'm trying to suggest any kind of a rule. I'm not. Some people of our congregation could not possibly give that much to the Lord's work. Other members of our family and of our church could give and have given and did give far more than that. But whatever it is, it must be between you and God. As God gives you more, He will say to you, you give more, a larger proportion to me. And whatever it is, He undoubtedly is going to say, make it sacrificial. May I conclude with the last principle very quickly? Will you turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. For in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there is a principle that is stated, which is also stated in other parts of the New Testament. It is found in the second verse, and it is also found in the key verse that we've been quoting, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. The seventh principle is, as given here, upon the first day of the week, or I like the way that Phillips translates this because it makes it so much more meaningful to us. He just says, every Sunday, let every one of you lay by himself. Now remember, that's the private nature of your giving. Giving to the Lord's work in the New Testament is a private thing. It ought never to be made a public kind of issue. Let every one of you lay by himself in store, as God hath prospered him, that's proportionate giving, that there be no gatherings when I come, no coercion, no squeezing it out of you by anything I will say. Now the principle that is mentioned here, or referred to, is the principle that giving money to the Lord's work is to be systematic or purposeful and thoughtful. Upon the Lord's day, every one of you, upon the first day of the week, giving to the Lord's work is not supposed to be haphazard, thoughtless, careless. I believe that you ought to, with thought and prayer and concern before the Lord, ask God to direct in some plan of giving. It's you and the Lord, but it ought to be thoughtful. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man as he purposeth, and that word purposeth means with thought and prayer and intention and plan. It is not to be the kind of giving that some people do. If they hear a very sad story, they give a lot of money and never think about it again until someone comes and puts them on the spot and they're coerced. Haphazard, careless, thoughtless, embarrassed, pressured giving. Instead, it is to be a systematic or purposeful and thoughtful thing that God says to you, I've given you this, now I want you to give to that missionary. I want you to give to this need in the church. I want you to give toward that problem. I want you to give this much, and I want you to give it here and there and to that, so that there can be the Spirit-led giving. And my friend,